Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Oh, welcome back under the cosh, we're here. You all right? How's the injury?
Not too bad, mate. Not too bad. Started doing a bit of running and a bit of ball work, so...
Moving.
Not very fast, but we're moving.
Still juicing?
On and off.
It's no
to be fair, Mrs. went away with work, so she's pushing the juicing more than I am, if I'm honest.
Kebab and juicer.
Yeah. You would not believe how much water's in a kebab. Honestly. It's not as pure a meat as what you'd think.
Tony Warner, how we doing, mate?
I'm all right.
Good?
Yeah, good, yeah. Glad to be here.
We've had some journeymen, but, 20 clubs throughout your career.
Is it 20, is it?
20, yeah.
Well, must have been a few.
You did kick up a lot first, didn't you?
you might as well have done a career in a caravan. It makes you be bouncing about.
You've got more goals than me as well.
I thought you said not in current way. He said, "Whatever you do, do not categorically mention Blackburn." The debacle that was Blackburn Rovers.
For the start to your career, though, like what 20-year-old, what you got pulled in as a reserve for Liverpool B team, right?
Yeah, I was 18. I'd just left school.
And, shit research again.
Yeah.
Fucking hell.
I was 18 and I was working in an accountant's firm and I got a phone call off Steve Highway. He got my number off the county manager and I think a lad had been let go, so he said, "Can we have a little look at it? You've got a game tomorrow." So I went in, played, and he just said, "What are you doing on a Saturdays? Are you doing anything?" And I weren't. So we said, "Do you want to come play for us on a Saturday?" That'd be great, you know, Melwoods.
Yeah. So
who were you playing for? Were you playing for anybody?
No, just Sunday League. Like, proper just Sunday League. Like, putting nets up yourself in Liverpool, in Sefton Park in Liverpool.
Liverpool fan? Like, as a lad?
No, Everton fan. Everton fan, yeah. I remember going into Everton, there was a scout who used to knock around Liverpool, Sid Benson's name was, and he'd kind of known me since I was a kid and all that. So I'm working this accountant's firm, this before Liverpool have phoned up, right? And he said, "How are you doing for gloves and all that?" So I was like, "Dad, oh, you know, because, you know, fucking the gloves, they cost you about 40 quid, but they burn out dead quick. You only have one pair of shoes."
Gone from Argos to like gardening gloves with rubber strips on.
The other ones with black rippers.
And then when you were born, like, you should buy it all.
With a bottle
and a pump. Yeah. So he says, "What are you doing now?" So I said, "I'm working this accountant's firm by not too far from Everton's training ground," because he was the Everton scout. So he said, "Right," he said, "okay, I'll tell you what, I'll speak to this fella, the academy manager, and go in on Tuesday, and I'll get him to get you some gloves in that." So I'm like, "Okay, Sam, no, that's great." Thought, you know, going to Belfield, brilliant. So anyway, on my lunch hour, goes into Everton's training ground, brilliant, you know what I mean, like Everton fan and all that. So he walks in, asks this fella, I can't remember what his name was, Royola or something like that, I can't remember. So walks in, so I'm asking for him, and someone goes, he's upstairs, like, you know, second office on the left or something. So a kind of walks in, and he's I think he's giving someone a dressing down, and he goes, "Who the fuck are you? Fucking get out of my office!" Like that. So, "Oh, for fuck's sake, I'm coming in, I'm on the beg for gloves and all that." and that's my first point of contact, you know what I mean?
Did you even knock?
So I can remember, do you know what, I don't know if I knocked and walked in. I don't think I'd have walked straight in. I think I might have knocked as I'm walking in, but he just blasted me out the room, right? So I'm standing outside now, like as if like I'm outside the headmaster's office. So then the kid comes out now. So he just comes walking out like that. He goes, "Who are you?" Like that. I'm thinking, I went, Sid Benson said to come down. My name's Anthony Warner. He said to come down and you'll have some gloves for me, like that. He went, "Nah, he fucking said nothing to me." So I'm just like, fucking hell, Sid, you know what I mean? So I'm kind of just standing there like, what do I do? So he kind of goes, all right. He goes, listen, he said, he goes like, John, go and get him some gloves, like that. I was dead dismissive, it was horrible, do you know what I mean? So he comes back with these fucking gloves. They look like they've been on fire. They're just like, yeah. So he gives me the gloves, and that was it then. So then he kind of said to me, he said, how tall are you? I think I'm 6'4". I must have been, well, I was 18 then, so I mean, so maybe like 6'2 or 6'3 or something. She goes, where do you play? And I said, oh, I play for like the Rob Roy, like in Sunday League and all that. And so, okay, sound, and that was it, just let me on my way. So goes away then, comes back with these fucking gloves, the state of me was terrible, like no good to me at all. And then it was pretty soon after that, Steve Highway phoned me up and said, like, come in, we'll have a look at you. So then, I was playing for them on a Saturday, so then working all week, play for Liverpool B team on a Saturday and then still continue to play the Sunday League on a Sunday. So we'd have the contrast of football, do you know what I mean? And I remember thinking to myself, like, I just didn't know if there was going to be any kind of progression to it. Yeah. So after one season, we actually won the league and then I phoned Ireway and I thought, oh God, I wonder if they want me back or not. So I phoned him and I said, do you want to come back like this season? He went, yeah, definitely get back, because another lad had been let go. So we opened up the 18 for me to play then. So then I was playing the 18 then, so I started getting a bit more kind of confidence about myself, I suppose. So I went and spoke to him and I said, look, I said, I'm playing here with like lads who were all contracted pros, you know, and I'm kind of on like expenses. Any chance you can kind of like sort something out? And Mike Hooper was still there then. So we had David James, Bruce Groblard and Mike Hooper. So we've got three pros. They're not going to take another one. So you've got to wait for one of them to be moved on. Yeah. Anyway, cut a long story short, Christmas Eve, he pulled me in. So that was 18 months from my first wedding. He pulled me in Christmas Eve. I'll tell a lie. He said to me, we need to have you for a month's trial. And I thought, I can't get a month off work. I just can't do it, you know what I mean? So I said, I can do 2 weeks. So we had to lie to work. Tell him I was going to like America or something to get 2 weeks off. So I went in for 2 weeks and then the 2 weeks finished on Christmas Eve and he pulled me, he said, look, he said, we're going to give you an 18-month deal and it's on the pro, so the big time.
Are you straight in
there?
Are you straight?
No. I was just kind of in like the reserve squad. Bruce Groblard was still there then and then Bruce left. Then he got another lad in, Michael Stensgaard, who was a Danish lad. And I think it was like a Danish under 21 or something. But then, unlucky for him, luckily for me, he dislocated his shoulder. Then that just opened it up for me. Then, so then I was in there. So I was just sitting on the bench behind Jamal for the foreseeable future after that.
Were it frustrating that though? You know, obviously you're on the bench for Liverpool, what,
I'd be raising it up.
No, but I mean, frustrating never getting that opportunity in 5 years ago, no injuries for David. Did you just want that one, you know?
Oh, yeah, I did, yeah. One. I mean,
did you come close? Or?
Yeah, just a couple of times I come close. But initially, it was just kind of like, I can't believe I'm sitting on the bench. Like last year, I was playing in Sefton Park, which is like in Toxteth, you know what I mean? And like they had like the Liverpool Sunday League, that's where they played the games. So a year ago, you're playing there. And then a year later, like you're on the bench, you're at Ivory and you're at Old Trafford or whatever. And I must admit, initially I was happy to kind of be there, do you know what I mean? But then as time went on, you're thinking, right, like I'm 22 now, maybe 23, like I haven't played the game. And then you're thinking, right, okay, like if you want to start playing, you've got to start playing now because you can't be like fucking 26, 27 because you're just a blag goalkeeper then. You've got a really nice seat in the stand in the ground. You're not actually doing nothing. So then I was getting frustrated and then got a loan up at Celtic. So played up there for a really short spell, just covered an injury. And then you know you're playing a Parkhead and you think, right, yeah, this is what it's about.
Yeah, that's not a bad start off, is it?
No. So you're thinking like this is what footy's about and I want some more of this. So come back from there, went along to Aberdeen. A bit more of it,
And then I left and I went to Millwall.
Did you have any apprehension going to Millwall, just like reputation of the fans?
No. I couldn't get enough of it from the start.
Yeah.
Yeah. From the get go, I just was lapping it up straight away.
I don't think they're bad to their own players, though, are they?
If they're doing well.
Yeah. If you're up against it, mate, I've had kind of bad spells in my wall, and they just want to kill you. Do you know what I mean? I remember throwing one of the many in, and I'm just getting a program lashed on my head, like when I was in the back of the net. But it's like, if you can handle a Millwall crowd, you can pretty much handle anywhere. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. And I do believe that, because since Millwall, I've played a lot of places. I've been to a lot of grounds in and watched football, and it's pretty unique. Millwall, I think, at the moment, because I think every other ground has kind of fallen away. It's well documented, I've said it lots of times, but, you know, sterile, manufactured football these days. And you don't go to Millwall unless you're a Millwall fan. And, I mean, you know, you don't fly in.
There's no tourists at Millwall.
No, there's no tourism at Millwall.
Scarves.
No, there's none of that at all. I mean, not like drums, there's not like clappers and all that. Like, if you've got a clapper out of Millwall,
you get a clap round.
Yeah, you disappear, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that was the thing that I really liked about the place. And like I said, everywhere else now is kind of going towards, like, you know, kind of worrying about like having a nice, safe environment for football and all that. And I'm not looking for World War III or nothing, but I think a bit of aggression in your home stadium to intimidate people isn't a bad thing, because it sometimes works. Mm. So remember last year, it was Leicester played them in the cup, and the lad complained that he didn't want to go and pick the ball up off the pitch because he felt threatened by the fans. Now, they weren't on the pitch. They weren't over the wall. They were standing there giving them loads of stick, and he didn't want to go and walk and get that ball. Now, Millwall beat Leicester. Now, I think that will have been a bit of a... would have had an effect on him.
Yeah.
And, you know, and rightly or wrongly, if you're a player, you can't handle that. Well, more fool you. The fans have won, you know what I mean? Yeah. And Millwall's like that. And it can be a bit of a powder keg sometimes, and it can be intense. But I've been down the Den a few times this season, and it's absolutely brilliant. The atmosphere is brilliant, and it's like old school, and it's like, you know, there's loads of fucking swearing going on, there's loads of kind of like shouting and like roaring. And, you know, I've been to some Premier League grounds over, like, you know, the last few years.
Diluted.
Just, and you're sitting there sometimes, you think to yourself, like, how come it's just really so quiet and so silent?
You can get your popcorn delivered to your seat now at Anfield. You can get on the
West popcorn at a football.
Oh, yeah. You can get on your
steak and kidney,
get on your app and really? get your popcorn and your drink delivered to your seat.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't like all that. And, like, I've sat in a few boxes, that new stand at Anfield's, like, amazing. I mean, it's something else. And I was lucky enough to get in one of the boxes. And I've been in smaller flats in London, do you know what I mean? Like, it had, like, a big kitchen area. The steaks, you wouldn't want to fall off them, they were massive. The food was super.
I'm fucking falling onto one.
And like, it was just brilliant. It was superb, do you know what I mean? Like, no, like, it was nice to go in and see that. But I wouldn't want to go and watch football in that way very often. It was nice to go there, don't get me wrong. You want to go every now and again. I mean, you know, it's all about kind of money and competing these days. I understand that. And that's what they've maybe got to do. And it's maybe you can't put the genie back in the bottle now. But I wouldn't really want to go and watch football like that on a regular basis. I'd rather be in the stands and watching it in an organic environment. Because now, I think, was it a couple of years ago, they were at Old Trafford saying they want to get the people out of a certain area who've had season tickets there for fucking years, and they want to start a singing section. Now, once you've got to start doing that,
segregating,
football's kind of finished. Because if you've got to, like, manufacture like a chant, football's all about kind of, you know, the little spark off the cuff bang, and then a chant starts, and, you know, it's fantastic. So that's the, sort of take a long way to explain it, but Millwall's not like that. Millwall's just brilliant. I think it's one of the best clubs and one of the best places to be. I mean, you know, they're flirting around at the playoff position now, and people talk about, imagine Millwall getting to the Premier League. It'd be brilliant. Imagine, like, Arsenal having to go there.
Yeah,
imagine that. It'd just be It'd just be unreal. The well, place would not
70s,
stop.
70s, 80s again, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Would that be the time that it does change?
The Millwall? Mm. I know. I mean, because then maybe, yeah, you'd have to come... Well, no, I don't think it would, but if it did, that would be the last place that'd be clinging on.
Bastion.
Yeah, clinging on to. Yeah, it would be.
Is that your best time of your career, Millwall?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, because, you know, that was where... You know, I established myself as a keeper, and then, but Millwall was definitely the place where I was most settled. Mm-hmm. And like I said, it was the team. The lot of us just kind of went forward, and plus, you know, like you said, like you were always just allowed a little bit extra. I think you let off the leash a bit more as a Millwall player. You were allowed to kind of say, not by the FA or other teams and that, but fans and like the management would know which was what was maybe required to be a Millwall player.
Yeah.
So you'd have lads flying to tackles and you know, like starting things and stuff, and it was like, yeah, fuck you, fucking, you know what I mean? Like that's what we are were about, you know what I mean?
Kevin Muscat.
Yeah, I was there with Muzzy. Yeah, he was.
He was a horrible player.
He was.
Remember it?
I don't think I've ever played against him.
Yeah, he was a horrible man. But you know what? Off the pitch, it's like when he crossed that white line.
Yeah.
It's like as if a switch just happened. Because off the pitch, he was the world's nicest fella, and he'd say to you, "I couldn't fight sleep." You know what I mean? And that's what he'd say. But on the pitch, he would like do some naughty tackles, and he'd switch. Yeah. Like players wouldn't like playing against him, and like he can't. He'd warn players and he'd threaten them. He jested and all that, and she players just like would avoid him. So you know, it would kind of work. And plus, well, he had this boss whistle. He had a whistle. Like yeah. He had the whistle.
Fucking dogs from miles around.
Yeah.
And kids around in the ground.
No, the eagles fucking flying. Eagles flying there. Come on, Kes.
No, he had a whistle that was exactly like a ref's whistle on the pitch. So lads would be running out towards the balls get knocked over the top, and he just blow the whistle, and lads would just stop. we roll on him. But then the lads, it happened loads of times, fucking loads of times, and no one, we all knew where to come from. You'd have like lads would just be like, they were just down to us. Oh, and like the ref, like they haven't blown up, but like we'd always, when you hit the fucking whistle, you'd expect the lads to maybe do something. Do you know what I mean?
Well, he goes out with the fingers.
No, it was just like he just popped out. It was brilliant. Yeah, he stopped the quite a few attacks with that.
Yeah. Offside.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Why did you leave?
There was like a contract wrangle, to be honest with you. I just didn't think I was getting what I was worth. There was like a few contracts which were getting handed out, and I was kind of just weighing on the imparity. I didn't think, you know what I mean? And I remember, I think Theo had pulled me in, and he'd gone, Theo Petitus. Yeah. And it just weren't quite up there, do you know what I mean? And he weren't increasing it. And again, I was still doing really, really well. So as you said, look, I said I'm not going to sign it. Do you know what I mean? And my contract was running out at the end of that season. And I remember Wolves come in for me, and I don't know. Anyway, I spoke to someone at the club, and they were like, and they said,
tapping up again. The old tap tap tap.
And he said,
it doesn't happen in football, they're all tapping up.
He said, if you come, you're going to play every game from now to the end of the season, because they were kind of struggling in the Prem. And Wise, he said to me, he said, look, sign the deal. He said, you know, it's a good deal. I was going, it's not. I said, you know, I want to do this, I want to do that, and, you know, I feel like I should be worth more, blah, blah, blah. So he said, what if you get fucking injured? And I was going, well, I won't get injured. I said, I've been here for 4.5 years. I haven't been fucking injured yet, you know what I mean? He said, like, I've got faith in, you know, I'm not just going to do that because worrying about getting injured and all that. I've got faith in myself. So I was then training, and there was a lad, John Sutton, Chris Sutton's with him. So we got fucking John Sutton, and John Sutton's like a fucking weirdo, you know what I mean? He's the other one. And we're in training, and there's like a, you know, you get those 70-30s, which is in the keeper's favour, and the ball runs through and he just comes and slides out and all that.
You'll get out of the way.
Yeah, just off over the cube, do you know what I mean? You can't get there, do you know what I mean? He comes through like a fucking train. Like a train, right? And our knees collide. And it was like a coconut. It was like hitting two coconuts. I remember, I can never forget the noise. It was like a And I remember thinking, fucking hell, that's fucking sore, you know what I mean? I'm lying on the floor, the papers are rolling around. I've got the ball in my hands. I get up, I'm fucking rubbing my knee and all that. And he's rolling around on the floor, fucking self-inflicted. So he gets up. So it continues on training. And about 2 minutes later, I look down, and my knee's just swollen up like a beach ball. So I think the physio and the doc were looking at it. And they stuck a needle in it, or maybe the next day or something. They stuck a needle in it. And he was like on a big fucking horse, like syringes, and he pulled it out, and it was just full of blood. And I just went, go on, fucking get that shit out of there, come on, you know what I mean? And the faces, they were looking at each other, and they realised something was a little bit fucking wrong. And he went, right, we're going to have to send to hospital. So they went and done a scan and all that, and it was kind of inconclusive. But he said, you've got like you've got a fractured patella, your kneecap's broke, but we need to look into it because there was a bleed in there, so it could be like ligament damage, like fucking wobbling on the chair like that. Like, fucking hell, do you know what I mean? I remember going, oh my god, like I'm fucked, do you know what I mean? I've had this offer of a contract, you know, I've turned it down and I've fucked myself. So we had to go and have it drilled. They had to put two screws in my knee. So I remember getting it drilled and speaking to the surgeon. And I remember saying to him, I'm sitting up and going, listen, mate, like, I've got to fucking go and get a contact somewhere in the summer. I don't want a knee that looks like a fucking shark attack. I don't want a big scar down my knee, right? I said, so I want it nice and tidy, as best you can.
Let women get the flaps done. I want it nice clean slip. I'll trim both sides.
So he's going, okay, yeah, I'll do my best. So anyway, goes down as my operation comes out, and the scar on it is, you can't even see it now. So I mean, just like a little graze. So that's when I've got the hard work starts now. I'm rehabbing over the summer and all that. So at this point, Cardiff come in. So I remember meeting Lenny Lawrence in a hotel in Croydon. So goes there with my agent and that. So fucking walks in, and I'm like, I'm saying, like, fucking, what? You've got to walk in, fucking, like, yeah. You mean business, you know what I mean?
Springing your step.
Yeah. So, walks in and all that. So, there's Lenny Lawrence there, the goalkeeping coach, and, like, someone else. So, they're going, you know, like, you know, it'd be like to have you, do you know what I mean? We've played against a few times, we've all done really well against us, like, your personality, blah, 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 you know, all the shit and all that. So, I said, right, yeah, sound. So, I said, who's there? He said, like, no, Neil Alexander and Martin Margeson. I remember just sitting there, went, listen. I'll rip their fucking heads off for that fucking shirt. Like that.
What the fuck? You just turn into a different character, don't
you? Yeah, you do, don't you? Because you know.
Not you, not me. Oh, me.
No, I did. I remember just sitting there and I just said, I'll rip their fucking heads off for that fucking shirt. And it went silent, right? I remember Lenny Lawrence like looking at the goalie coach and like this other fella, and he went, do you know what? I like that.
He said, I like that.
And he went, I like that. And they're going, yeah, boss. And all that. He said, yeah, I've never heard that before. And I went, well, I'm fucking serious. I said, I want to fucking play. Look, I'm fucking sweating inside because my knee's fucking hanging off to me. Oh, and he's making a good impression.
Knee size of that fucking balloon again.
And I said, yeah. I said, that's where it's going to be. So he goes, right, okay, yeah. So it's like negotiations going back and forward and all that. And then I said to him, I want the fucking number one shirt as well. He goes,
you were getting fucking brave, yeah.
Yeah, I got it, though. I got it. And it was Neil Alexander had it. And I said, I want the one shirt. He goes, okay, so I'm going to fucking bring you in. He might as well give you the one shirt as well, do you know what I mean? So it's them. Dennis Wise gets married in the summer. So Dennis Wise is obviously close to Theo Pafitas, but he's also close to Sam Haman, who's the Cardiff chairman, who used to be the Wimbledon chairman. So they're quite tight.
Yeah.
So now we go back to Wise's house. He's after his wedding, he's got like his reception in his garden. He's got a big fucking massive house in Surrey. He's got a big millionaire's room and all that. He's got this big marquee and stuff. So he goes in now. So I see Theo, which is fully expected, but I see Sam Mann as well. I'm thinking, fucking hell. Like, I'm leaving, I'm going to them, you know what I mean? So I'm thinking, well, I just keep my head down. So I'm in there now.
You're not told.
You're not thinking about. You're not thinking about kicking them apart.
No.
It's like just well, start walking. Theo.
Have you tried the muffin, Theo?
That's not Sam. That you know. But I hadn't told Isaac about the Cardiff thing. I hadn't told anybody.
Yeah.
So I'm sitting there now. So then Theo's son walks in. He goes, "My dad wants a word. You're outside." So it's all right. So I think, oh, fucking hell, here we go. So he walks out now. Wise is in the middle. Salaman's on his right shoulder. And Theo's on his left shoulder. And the three of them just looking at me like that, with their arms folded. So he walks up like that. So I think, like, the cat's out the bag now, do you know what I mean? So Theo goes, "You didn't fucking tell us you were going to them." And I was going, "Well, you know, go look after yourself, do you know what I mean?" And he goes, "Don't go to him." He said, "The fucking shit." He said, "Don't, he'll ruin," he goes, "he'll ruin your career." So some man goes, "Listen, you, he's coming to us, we're fucking great, we're going to look after him, we're going places, not blah, blah, blah." So then it was like kind of a bit of banter between them, do you know what I mean? So Wise, he's going, fucking stay with us, and like, "Come on, Tom, we'll look after you." And I was going to Theo, "Well, you know what you're offering?" I said, "You know, they're offering a lot more." He said, "I'm 31, I've got a fucking bus knee, do you know what I mean? I'm like, so I need to kind of start like making some ground here." So, I remember Theo saying to me, "Listen," he said, "just don't go to him." He said to me, "If don't go to him," he said, "if you don't sign for Millwall, I will get Simon Jordan to sign you on at Palace." And I don't, they were mates, they were pally, do you know what I mean? And he just said that statement to me. I never heard any more of it. I've never inquired about it or not, but never heard more about that. But then I do remember like leaving them to it and going back, and then going to like the toilet, like late on at night, it was all dark, do you know what I mean? Like, they like those like big posh portaloos and all that. And I remember like walking along and all that, and Theo was there, like in the shadows. And he went, "Tom, come
just
here."
Waiting.
Yeah, he was there. Yeah.
He's gonna need a piss sooner or later, isn't he?
But he pulled me into the shadows and he said, "Listen," he said, "don't sign for him." But he got all serious now. He said, "Don't sign for him." He said, "Look, I'll increase your appearance by such and such." And Theo said, "It doesn't cover me basic wage there, do you know what I mean?" I said, "I'd like to stay." He said, "I want to stay." He said, "But you've got to be increasing a bit." "Nah, it's kind of too much and all that." And I kind of got left. So then ended up going to Cardiff. But like, pre-season come along a little bit too quick. And I was like, right, I feel like, what it was is, you feel fine. You know, you're kind of doing drills and stuff and it feels a bit strange. I just couldn't quite get it. So then everything else comes off the back of that, you know what I mean? You kind of lose a bit of confidence, the fans kind of aren't on you. Because basically what happened was, Neil Alexander was the fans' favourite. And he was a good keeper, do you know what I mean? He was a good keeper.
But, you got the number one though, didn't you?
But I got the number one, yeah. And it was funny as well, because I watched his name, and I remember walking into the ground the first day, and he had some medical and stuff, and kind of got the deal signed, and he just walked past me. Look, he weren't happy, do you know what I mean? He weren't happy because I come in. But, you know, later...
Fred rip his fucking head off.
Well, yeah, there was that as well, yeah. But,
Lenny Lawrence has gone back to you, so he never gets what he fucking said about it.
But,
he's going to rip your fucking head off.
But, so that was that. So me and him kind of didn't really get on. But, you know, looking from his point of view... For him to come up to me and kind of be shaking my hand and all that, he's probably not going to want to do that either. It's just the way football is, you know what I mean? You've got a bit of pride, I suppose.
You and Brendan played together in Norwich?
Bit of a loose term, that one.
Is it?
Yeah. I was crocked and...
Yeah.
No, you played for a bit, didn't you?
No, I played all the time I was there. Right. It was just you. I played every game.
You and fucking Dion Dublin there as well, with some rumours I've been hearing about.
What a fucking big team, by the way, yeah. Weren't it?
Big team, big team. One way, I've heard. Biggest man in football. Not straight from Chris's mouth, that.
It's official. It's official. It's still dripping down his chin there. They've got a handkerchief there just to mop it up. They didn't get close, did they?
You must have been happy when that rumour came out, though.
It was brilliant. It was brilliant. I remember it was at Millwall, and I remember walking the training ground, and it was early on. I'd been there long. They were signed on, like, you know, signed on obviously in pre-season, and then it must have been like about a month or so after. I remember walking in, like, normally you walk like the corridor and all that, and someone just seen me and just started going. So I'm like, weird. And he said, walks around, around the corner, and someone else is there, and they're giving it back. And then I walks into the changing room, and there's about like six lads there, and they all just start applauding. So I'm like, oh, what's going on? Do you know what I mean? Like, someone fill us in. So I said, go outside and have a look on the board. So I walks outside, and just pinned on the board, it just said, Tony Warner's got the biggest tackle in football. So I'm kind of reading and thinking, fucking hell, where's this come from? What advertising that is? Yeah, not complaining at all. So I'm reading it, and it's gone, you know, I think McAteer had done some little piece in like some, it was like a more magazine, like a women's magazine. Well, McAteer being a handbag, you know what I mean? Like, he got an interview with more magazine, so that was that. But it said, like, who's the biggest in the shower? And he's got, definitely 100% Tony Warner, and he goes, and I'm second. So what they've done is they just pull
and
out.
I'm second.
Yeah.
So not got it.
So they pull that out of the magazine, and they just like brought expose in the Daily Sport. So it was brilliant. So it runs out, gets about 5 days.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Play sports, do you know what I mean? And then,
that's one for the scrap
book. Yeah. So that was that then. It was just out there. So the fans, the Millwall fans were loving it. They were kind of shouting off the stands. You know, used to say, Denzel shows your cock and all that. So I know it's supposed to do that. The most I could give them was I used to just pull my shorts up like that, like as if I was looking down at it, and like look back up at the stand and all that. And that's all I could give. I used to do rousing with that. But that was a good bit of free advertising, that.
some good crack at Norwich.
I loved it, even though it was a weird place to win it. It's like a big village.
Yeah.
Just strange.
It was isolated, wasn't it? You know what I mean? It was an isolated place. So like you said, it was like a bit of a big village, because you'd have to just travel like pure distance to just find anywhere else.
Yeah, you wouldn't pass through it. You go to Norwich if you either live there or you go for a weekend or something, but then you go to
A weekend to Norwich.
I've never been.
Norfolk Road.
So we're going to meddle off now. We're going to go to Norwich for 3 days.
What was the other place with the Great Yarmouth? That was like the place on the coast, wasn't it? That was the only other place, I think, which I heard around Norwich.
Were you there with Fozzie? Fothering?
Yes. Yeah.
He was a queer cat.
Yeah.
He was, I think before he came to Norwich, he was playing in Germany. And a bit of a strange lad. But I got lumbered with him in Dunstan Hall when he first came.
Right.
So
you were an upgrade to him.
Honestly.
I can't phone him again, that fucking bully.
And he'd obviously, because he was playing in Germany, he used to, so if he was practicing free kicks or he nearly scored in training, he'd just start swearing in German.
Oh, fucking hell.
I was like, you from Dundee, you fucker?
Yeah.
Remember?
Didn't he end up going to Fulham?
He came to Fulham, yeah. That was it.
Yeah, he ended up going
was
to
that,
Fulham.
I think, did they have a German manager or something?
Felix.
Felix, I think he was in Germany.
The guy.
That's him, yeah. But he put cheese on your knee. Have you got an injured knee? Yeah.
What on your knee? Cheese?
Yeah, he said it was.
Fuck it. The
head. You know, I don't. Fucking laughing.
Cheese on one knee, a little cracker on the other.
Spot of port. I don't know about this.
Yeah, he's bred the Hangerland, like an injury or something, and he said, like, put like this particular cheese on your knee and like wrap it around and that, and I don't fucking work or not, but yeah, like,
I think he probably did it though, didn't he?
I think
sat home with Durley slides.
Who else had a knowledge then?
He was Gary Dock.
Oh, Gary Dock.
Gary Dock. Well, they made me laugh when he had his hair done.
Yeah.
And his hair done it like 6 months later looked just as bad, didn't it?
Yeah.
He got it half price or something because the fella was just starting out, and he said, if you be the face of it, I'll give you it for
Or wig job.
But that would be one of the first ones, wouldn't it? Like it was. The weave. Mm.
There's a fella in Manchester. So he's got this done. I think it was £4,000 and it was meant to be £8,000. And it was worse once he had it. It just didn't grow.
Remember he got it done. And it's kind of like, you've seen like, it's like a little paddy field, innit? Do you know what I mean? It's kind of like little kind of like grid reference across your nut.
And braille.
Yeah. And we were in Kingston, out with Harvey, the kit man. And he had a cap on, like those Von Dutch caps on, you know what I mean? And we were trying to walk into a bar, and like it was like no caps allowed. And you could see him, the fella's like, no, you're not getting in on that. And he had to pull the fella to one side and explain it. And you see him just like lifting that. And the fella's giving a little tap on the back on, go on, son, get yourself in.
Yeah.
What a fella. It's mad, isn't it? The Valentine footy these days. Do you know what I mean? Like, you know, like fucking ears getting pinned back and Barnett's getting done and that. I'll tell you what, the best Barnett though has got to be Conte's, hasn't he? That's lucious.
A good
that.
Job there, isn't
whoa,
it?
Yeah. And he's like just like an old Justin Bieber, isn't he? He just like just wafts it around and all that. Have you seen a picture of him? Like,
yeah, beforehand.
Yeah? Like an arm.
I'll tell you what I mean, like Simo, Steve Simonson.
Oh God, yeah.
Simo had
yeah.
He's done.
Is it not a syrup?
Simo had one done, but right, when he, obviously, when he used to sweat, his actual hair sweated. But his new hair didn't. So when the wind blew, the back of his hair stuck down and he just got this fucking... The squeal like a rooster. With his fucking flat blood all that. Like, oh, for fuck's sake.
Where were you with him, Nate?
Stoke.
Right.
Stoke. He were fucking queer. He were another strange guy. Top man, but strange. Yeah.
He used to come with a spray tan, Simo. You have the, you know, the proper, where you go in the...
Paper underpants.
Yeah. But he used to leave his underpants on. So he got the actual fucking spray tan. Yeah. Like, tan lines. And then he'd got his barnet and all. And then he used to wear, like... You know when you used to get, like, knock-off gear? Like, jeans with, I don't know, Von Dutch down side. Yeah. Massive rat. He used to come in gear like that. And he's thinking, well, you've got all of this summer, Simo. Turkey.
Pocket full of laser.
He spent fucking £10,000 on his barnet. He spent £10,000 on his barnet. He gets his scent spray tan. He's got fucking gear from Turkey.
when we went to Vegas for all the Norwich squad went. I don't know if we were there, but Luke Chadwick went.
Yeah, I went that face, yeah.
And he doesn't like the sun. And he's turned up at the airport in this spray with a yellow spray tan.
Yeah.
But it was a shade darker than it should have been.
Oh, no.
And so we landed, we got out by the pool, and within 10 minutes it was just smudged everywhere. Oh, no. Didn't see him, hardly did we.
Yeah. No, he didn't even fuck with it. I remember sitting in the airport, and like, we were just waiting to like, you know, get off wherever we were flying from. And he just walked in, and we were all sitting there boozing and all that. And like he comes in, oh yeah, like his shirt was open about 2 or 3 buttons down, and it was just like chocolate money. Oh. You know what I mean? But then it was all.
Oh, you mean R&B bar?
Yeah. When you get us in, you know what I mean? And then it was all patchy, and it was just like he just got curry powder and just thrown it at himself and just gone like that. And you're like, are you fucking for real, mate? But you know what? He just didn't give a fuck.
Yeah.
So you couldn't give him any stick because he just didn't care. So it was just the banter level was just like off the scales, you know what I mean? And it was on his face, on his hands. And he was just sitting there like the VIP bit, like in the business class, like the lounge, wasn't he? And like he'd throw or something. It's like, oh yeah, let's Vegas, let's go, you know what I mean? Let's have this. It's sneaking on.
It's, you can tell the shade, you know? You can tell when somebody's faked hand and all that. It's yeah. Like a different shade to somewhere. A different shade to all.
So it's like there's this big like pool party, and it's like it's like something off like MTV fucking pool party, you know what I mean? It's just rammed. It's like the biggest one there, isn't it? I think we had some fella who was like kind of looking after us, and then he puts in this like cabana, and it's like up the stairs, and it's kind of in this like kind of prime position, you reckon, but it's like you're just out the way really, but you're overseeing everything, you know what I mean? And it's a pain in the ass go down the toilets downstairs, so it's like a gazebo thing. So everyone's kind of sitting there, the fucking bottles of vodka were like that, they were massive, there was loads of them, loads of beers, it was just like party time. So I remember I couldn't be asked going for a piss, like down the toilet. So I just go around the back of this cabana thing, and have a slash there, right? And they're like kind of, like tarpaulin, and like, you know, the tie, they've got like ringlets, like ring yeah. holes, you know what I mean? So I remember like going around, I'm like going to have a piss, and I was just looking through and that, and I could just see Chadders. He was just kind of sitting there, like in the corner of it, you know what I mean? And like the ringle was there.
I fucking cough when it's like that, so I just got my cough out. I'm just pissed, and it's gone right through the old light. And I'm just pissing right on him. Like that, right? So there's me, I'm laughing, right? So you can hear everyone screaming, and he just didn't give a fuck, he just sat there. And I think he just said to someone, I think Tom's pissing on me.
I think he'd rather you pissing him than fucking hitting me.
So he comes back around, he's just sitting there, and he's just like wiping it off like that. Just didn't give a fuck.
The security fellas, and say if you want to be out, he's going, where are you going, sir? I'm just going for a piss. You've got to follow me. And he'll just start cleaning people. Whoever's in front of this security fella, just cleaning them out, shining the torch, and you're just walking behind him like, Floyd Mayweather. The only time I've ever felt like I was somebody.
Give him $10, John.
No, I'll give him $1. Give the change.
You were here the time when we seen Floyd Mayweather, weren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. We were in his club and that. And Floyd Mayweather comes in, I think.
In Vegas?
Yeah. He'd just beaten Hatton, hadn't he? And he was on the top of the... It was like a big dance floor. Then had like a big balcony around, and it was all like kind of boots on either side. So he's kind of come up on his balcony now, and he's like something out of fucking Scarface. He's standing there like that.
Yeah. The lights on, isn't it?
Yeah.
Spotlight on him.
Yeah.
The Champions of Your song came on, which is
like... Making it rain.
Yeah, he did.
Did he?
Yeah, he did. Yeah, yeah. So we're in this booth, which is right next to like this balcony. So he's making it rain right in his hair. It looked cool, didn't it? Didn't look bad. He's smashing them out there, and he's throwing the notes out, and he's making it rain proper, right? So we're going, like, fucking hell, brilliant, you know what I mean? So then all these notes are falling around, so you think, yeah, so he was grabbing them and that. I remember Doc, we were grabbing them, and they were $1 bills. I remember at the time, the exchange rate was 2-1, wasn't it? So it was like 50 pence, do you know what I mean? And I remember Doc going, fucking hell, like, you know, fucking giving a big licks and all that, throwing 50 pences out there. Like, no, it's like 20s or $100, you know.
Okay, I'm only 20,000 then for my hair doing. Have you got a pretty face, boy? You can see my fucking man if I'm here, boy.
Set up a Just Giving page.
Well, you wouldn't have selfies, would he, Floyd?
No.
Andy Hughes came running back. Wow.
Just Andy was the coach at Huddersfield.
Yeah.
He's a bit of a card, isn't he?
Aye, he's class. Yeah, he just came back buzzing, said, I'm getting a selfie with Floyd.
I was with him. It was me who had to take it. We were kind of standing there in his booth. So Hughes has gone, right, we're going to go and meet Floyd. Come on, let's go. Like that. So like, all right. So we're walking up, like, there's like a stairwell up there. And like, he's got these big, massive dormant shoes, like, fucking lumps, you know what I mean? Like, just pulling the rope back and all that. Remember, there was like a train of about 4 or 5 birds. And they were just like, swanning through. So Hughes said, right on the back of these, let's go. So as we get to there, bang, the fucking rope comes down, big forearm in his chest, you know what I mean? Like, where are you fucking going? So Hughes goes, I'm going to go upstairs on the balcony. The fella's going, like, to VIP, mate, where's your pass or your band and all that? I haven't got one. So Hughes just, like, you could grease palms, couldn't you? You could get anywhere, if you had enough money, you could get anywhere, do you know what I mean? So Hughes just, like, got us some tone, just gave it to the fella, felt sound, lifted the rope up we went. So we're just kind of moseying around now to where Floyd is. And everyone's, as you're getting closer to him, you can see everyone wants to kind of talk. So everyone's kind of, like, facing away as if they're busy, but, like, half looking over. I mean, Hughes, fucking straight through everyone. I mean, just armed and dragging people out of the way and all that. So he's got like a ring of steel around him, just big fucking lumps around him, you know what I mean? And he's in like a booth and he's parting and he's looking over, he's saying hello to everyone and all that. So Hughes, like, trying to squeeze through and that, you know, he's trying to get over and under and all that, and the fella's like fucking elbow, like, get out the fucking way, blah, blah, blah. So anyway, couldn't get to him. So Hughes has gone, like, there was like a gap, and Floyd's kind of facing that way, and Hughes gone, quick, take a picture like that. So Hughes is like that. He's like extending his neck into like the gap, and do you know what, you can't see Floyd's face, but you can tell it's him from behind. So yeah, so we've got it's like a kind of a selfie, but no. Oh yeah, fucking hell,
some trips, man.
Yeah,
we have to talk about football. And what about that bother you had in Norwich?
Just comes out of a club one day and standing there, I think it was on my phone, I think it was and speaking to one of the lads, and I was there with Harvey, and Harvey being Harvey was in the kebab shop one, so I'm on my own, like, standing there against the wall on my phone,
I just see some lad, like, he's got his eyes on me and he's just moving back and forward, like, about, like, 10 yards away. But I can see he's staring at me, do you know what I mean? Like, what's he staring at? Like, why, do you know what I mean? No, you just got, like, a... Just, like, someone who's just being aggressive, do you know what I mean? So he's fucking coming back and forward, he's looking at me, then he's talking to his mate, then he's staring at me again, so I'm on the phone, thinking, oh, for fuck's sake, I don't need this. So then he kind of comes up to me now, and he's standing, like, fairly close. And then, do you know when you get, like... It's just kind of maybe a couple of people arguing or there's a bit of unrest between someone and then someone else gets involved and it seems like someone puts their hand on someone, it all starts kicking off, don't you know, big handbags and all that. So I remember him saying a few things and I couldn't quite understand what he was saying, like, I'm going to fucking do this, I'm going to do that, or blah, blah, blah. And then I remember there was a girl kind of standing there who just started getting irate and then that just heightens the tension of everything, yeah, you know what I mean? And she's going, oh, don't, and all that. I'm thinking, like, what? Fucking hell, like, what's going on? So then he goes away, stares at me, he takes his coat off, gives it to someone, and comes and stands out in front of me. And I don't know who the lad is, you know what I mean? And then his mate comes now down the corner, and his mate stands on me left-hand side, and he's really close. And then the lad moves right in, and he's really close, and he's like... They got me kind of pinned almost against the wall, and they were that close. And think to myself, even if I just turned to walk away, the way that they were, they just set upon me. Do you know what I mean? So we had to kind of just hold me ground. So I'm just standing there, and he's going. His mate, who was a bit of a fucking plank, was going like, go for a shoot, go round the corner for a shoot. Now this is like. Fucking Norwich, like yokel terminology.
Not the Bronx.
Yeah, go for a shoot. So I'm like, what's a shoot? And he's going, take him around the corner for a shoot. So then, the weird thing about the lad was, the plank he was on my left was like a bit of a divvy, but you could see this one was like being really aggressive, do you know what I mean? I think I've got to fucking keep my eye on him. He's the one who's like, who's trouble.
Yeah.
So then, I remember trying to defuse it, and saying to the one in front of me, what the fuck's he on about? This one is causing problems. What's he on about? And the weird thing was, he was switching from me and then switching onto his mate and was going like, yeah, what are you fucking talking about, you divvy? And was being aggressive with his mate, and his mate was kind of half back and down. But then he switched back onto me, and I'm thinking, oh, this lad ain't right. He's on something, do you know what I mean? Yeah. He's not all there. So I'm standing there, I'm thinking, it's any second now. They're just going to try and fucking fill me in. So I'm just looking at him, thinking, no, you just know, don't you? And I thought, like, it's going to start now. So I thought, so just chin them. but there was no mistake. Like, it was either going to be me or him, do you know what I mean? And I was standing in my own business. He was trying to do something to me. So just chin them. And he obviously didn't expect it. So I've sat him down on his ass. And as he's kind of just, like, he's sitting down, he's still kind of sitting up, but I've sat him on his ass, and I've jumped on him now, and I'm fucking getting
just
stuck.
Just making sure he's all right.
Yeah, just massaging him a little bit. and I'm just kind of getting stuck into him a bit. And I can remember seeing his mate's feet were right next to me, because I was, like, down on top of him. And I'm thinking, if he boots you in the face, he could do me in, do you know what I mean? So I'm thinking, I've got to fucking sign... I've just got to sign in this and get out of here dead quick. So anyway, this fella pulls me off. Like this big, big fucking fella. He lifted me, you know what I mean? Boom, lifted me like that. The fucking hell size of him. So this guy...
Just a random fella?
Yeah, random fella. It's weird. It's like... It's still strange thinking about it. She lifts me off and I look down, sees him on the floor. So I'm walking to the street now. Fucking hell, so I'm going to Harvey. Get me in the taxi, mate. Get me out of here, do you know what I mean? So Harvey's...
He's just munching on his
kebab. Yeah, hang on a minute. So Harvey's bouncing around going, yeah, you're done him, yeah, blah, blah, blah. So Harvey's kind of like hopping around, like all happy with the situation. And I'm like, Harvey, get us out of here, do you know what I mean? Anyway.
Is this in Norwich City Centre?
Right in the city centre, outside like the main club. So it turns around now, and this fucking divvy who I've just put on his ass is sprinting up the street after me. So I'm thinking, fucking hell. So I just did something, I'm just like fucking died on a bit on the floor, do you know what I mean? I've just got the fucking centre tennis, fucker. So I'm thinking, if someone done that to me, I'd be kind of a little bit buckled up, you know what I mean? So he comes at me now, and we're scrapping, and he gets me, and he lifts me up, he gets underneath me, lifts me up, and spikes me into the floor, like a rugby tackle. I remember thinking, oh my God, like, I remember it getting me on, like, me landing on my head, and like all like me, all like the nerves in my arm, like tingling and stuff. It was painful. Like, so I've got my knee up in him, so I'm hitting him and he's hitting me. And the same guy, I'm talking about 60 yards away here, the same fella who pulled me off him, pulled him off me, but just lifted him off me like that. Fella must have been, like, looking up, like, remembering now, it seemed like he was about 7 foot, you know what I mean? Lifted him off, and then stopped the car in the road, and went, take him home. And we thought that was a taxi. And we got in the car, we didn't even a taxi. It was like two like Algerian fellas in the car, right? We didn't even a taxi. So me and Harvey jumps in. It was like a divine like intervention or something, you know what I mean?
Everything is better. Someone's better if it had been the two twins, one in his ears.
So the fella, the fella's drop was off at Gary Tocherty's house now. That's where we were staying. So then now Harvey wakes up in the morning and this lad's on the phone kicking off saying he wants to have me a straightener. So Harvey's going, like, putting the phone down, the phone's blowing up all the time. He's like, this boxing gym he goes to, he wants you to go down there now and he wants you to have your straightener because he felt you stole it on. I'm going, well, no, I'm not going to any fucking boxing gym in the middle of Norwich. I'm fucking joking. I won't get out alive, you know what I mean? It ain't happening. So, like, you know, we're at him last night and that was that. So, he's phoning all the time, so Harvey goes, look, I think he knows, because Harvey used to live in this house, he goes, I think he knows, he might have an idea where I live, and he might come round here, there's not any off chance trying to find us. So we said, look, I have to get off. So I'm like, then sounds, we'll get in the car. Driving home now. So his phone's blowing up all the time, so Harvey's going, he's not coming to meet you. So I said, get the fucking phone. So what do you fucking want? He goes, you cheap cunt and all that. He goes, you stole it on me last night. I said, mate, I said, I didn't even know what a shoot meant. I said, until I found out afterwards. So, but your mate's talking, you and your mate got me pinned against the wall. Your mate's saying, take him for a shoot down the corner. You are looking at me for no what reason I do not know. And I said, you're going back and forward, you take your coat off, and you come and stand dead aggressive in front of me. I said, well, from where I come from, mate, you've got to be ready. And I said, and I fucking chin you. And he goes, yeah, yeah. He goes, you've knocked on me, like me, like, I couldn't believe he said this to me. Like, if this happened to me, I wouldn't say to the fellow who's done it to me, especially if he's on the phone, you know, you've knocked all my veneers out and it cost me 10 grand and all that, and I'm going to fucking kill you and I want fucking money and all that. Like that. And I said, what? I've knocked your veneers out? I said, that's music to my ears, that, mate. I said, fucking good. So they upped it all over the floor and he goes, well, I'm going to fucking find you. Where are you now? And I was going, well, I'm on the motorway. Well, whereabouts? I'm coming to get you. Me and the boys are going to get in the car and all that. So you can come where you want, mate. I'm on the fucking motorway. You haven't got to fucking sniff and find me, do you know what I mean? And I said, and no, the other thing as well. I said, I woke up, right? And I said, I had all your skin in my teeth. I woke up, I had all your skin in my teeth. And I said, do you know what? I haven't got a scratch on me. So I said, as far as I'm concerned, brilliant, I'm happy. You're not. That's the way I like it. And he was just giving me loads of racial abuse on the phone, right? So I said, look, I said, you don't know who you're dealing with. That doesn't bother me. I said, because what happens? I said, what's happened? I said, I'm well in credit in the whole situation. So you can call me what you fucking like. I'm not asked. Calling me like and all that is not going to make me turn around and go into like a gym in Norwich where you've got about 55 year mates and not walk out again. So you can say what you want, you know what I mean? So it went on and on, and like a few phone calls were made, and he was demanding money out of me. He was trying to get money out of me, and he was threatening to go to the papers, because I'm going to go to the papers because I'm going to get the CCTV outside the club. And I said, yeah. I said, gonna look great. And it said, brilliant. I said, goalkeeper fills in drug dealer in outside Norwich Club. I said, brilliant. He said, mate, I can't buy publicity like that. I said,
it's almost as good as my big cop.
Exactly. So it's going to be as an early sport.
I didn't even use my weapon.
I said, so go ahead and do that. I said, that's fine. I said, you know, if I get done for giving you a crack and it gets shown on CCTV, so what's the worst going to happen to me? I'm not going to go to prison. I said, so do it then, you know what I mean? I said, do what you're going to do. And then he was going, oh, I'm going to send the firm down the training ground. I'm going to wait for it outside the training ground to follow him and all that. I was like, go on then. I'll never come with it. But it was weird. Like, you know, it was totally brought on by himself. And subsequently, I found out afterwards, he was barred from everywhere in Norwich because he was a bully. and he was like a trouble causer. And what he would basically do is he just deal out smacks to people on the street. So that's what he'd do, and I think he just didn't expect it, because I think sometimes he knew who it was like, and I think sometimes people think like, oh, you're a footy player, like you're not going to do nothing, or you're not allowed to do anything because I'm going to do what I want to you, and because you've got this persona of football you've got to protect, you're going to just allow me to do it, and you're just going to like shuffle away. And I think that's what he was expecting, but he just got chinned, and that was that, and it was a fucking big surprise, you know what I mean? But you know, fair play to him, he fucking come up and come at me again, so that was that. But it all just fizzled out.
Do you been involved in any, you know, people being held to ransom for whatever reasons?
Only when on the films that I watch. That's about it. Yeah.
Any like scenarios like that? I want 10 grand. Or...
Yeah, yeah. There was one at Liverpool, actually. There was one at Liverpool. Jason McAteer had an argument with a girl in a bar. And it was just like, just a tit for tat, do you know what I mean? And she said something to me, he said something to her, but it was this fella's beard. So the fella now is like this kind of a hood in Liverpool, and he's put the pressure on him like heavily. Do you know what I mean? Big time. Like wanted some serious money out of him.
Yeah.
I think it was about 30, 40 grand. He's going, I want the money. We're going to fucking copy you. I'm going to fill you in, break your legs and all that. You're going to be finished. So, but it went on for a long time. It went on for probably the best part of 6 months.
Yeah.
So McAtee's having to fucking like kind of fly into Liverpool to say and fly back out, you know what I mean? And he kind of kept himself out of town and that. And I remember at the end of the season, we were all going to Cream, and someone must have got wind that the whole team were going to Cream, and someone phoned me and said, is McAtee going to be there at Cream tonight? And I was going, I don't know. And he's going, because this fella knows you're going, and he's going to turn up, and he's going to just iron him out. So I speak to McAtee, and I said, Jason said, this fella, you know, the situation and all that, he's going to come, and he's going to come and get you tonight. So he goes, well, I'm not going there tonight. I'm going like where I live, so I'm not even going there, it's not a problem. So I remember I went, right, and all, like a lot of the team were there, so I was sitting there, and the fella walks up the stairs, like, there's like kind of VIP balcony area, and the fella walks up, and he must have 10 of his mates, right? And they're all like steroid heads, they're all fucking big lumps, you know what I mean? And then I was sitting at the top of the stairs, and I'm sitting like this booth and that. And he comes right into me like that, and he goes, is McAtee here? And I said, no, he's not here. He goes, you best not be fucking lying to me, he's here. I just passed the book, I went, that's Jamo. Like that.
He's number one.
I was, go and ask Jamo like that. So he goes, and like you can see, he's like asking the other players, and I tell you what, he come walk at night, and it was like a clown's car. You know, the amount of fellas he had with him, like, oh my god! So like, if McAtee was here, he would not have got out alive. He would not have got out right. He'd have made a mess of him. Do you know what I mean? So it was going on for a long time, and then we had our Christmas party, and you'd always have to go fancy dress. And McAteer and Redknapp when he's like a big fat roly-poly fella. Like, no, you got the big suit with all the foam inside. So,
had it all died down by now, or were it?
It's kind of still simmering, do you know what I mean? Yeah. I think it probably died down to a certain degree. So we were having something to eat in, like, in this restaurant in the Albert Dock. And then the hotel, we'd go back and have drinks in the hotel. So you had to, like, walk, like, a 10-minute walk through town and stuff. So lads are staggering across. So then I get into the hotel now. McAtee's at the bar like that, right? He's fucking sweating like that, right? He's got this big fucking fat rolling poly suit on. He goes, you never guess what happened to me. I'm going, what? He goes, I was walking through town and he fucking pulled up next to me in the Jeep, didn't he? So he said he went on the window down. So McAtee said to me, he said, all I was thinking was, I don't want to get knocked out in this suit, in the street. I don't want to get filled in this suit. So McAtee said, I'm standing there, and he winds the window down. He goes, come here. So I had to go over to him. So he goes, like, basically, I think the fella had run out of steam on it, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Listen, apologise to her now, and it's done. And I think Mark to him, listen, you know, sorry for that, you know what I mean? Like, you know, it was just one of them things. But it obviously got heated. Yeah. And Sadler said, that's it. And he just went to the window up and drove off. And then McAteer said he just walked to the hotel and he said, because this shoot, yeah, like red off insulated. I mean, and just got sweat was pouring out of him.
I've got visions of him running from the Jeep, like, I'm fucking.
Yeah. But he was ecstatic.
Like, what do you mean by him now?
You know what I mean?
In the Titanic music.
Yeah. I don't know, one funny thing, right? I was at Norwich and played against you. You played for Stoke.
Yeah.
I'll never forget. You just brought it up there. I remember standing there at the box and you were running across the pitch like that, right? Like running from like left to right. I remember thinking, fuck, we had a double chin on him.
I was one of my slimmest things. Oh, fucking like that, is it? Went for the fucking black one straight away. I've got an underactive thyroid, Chris. Diagnosed by the doctor.
We've had a bit of contact from some guys at Team Kilimanjaro 250K on Instagram. I think they're doing a climbing up Kilimanjaro for mental health.
It's a kid who we used to play with, Andy Lonergan. It's his wife's doing it, and she asked us to get a shout out, so we'll help if you can, please.
Yeah, get on it if you can. Tony, cheers.
Aye.
Yes, thank you very much. Top man, cheers.
Thank you. Quality. Nice one. All right, we'll be the Under the Cosh podcast, and we'll be back soon. Cheers.
See you soon.
Bye.